Well, today is Sunday, December 30th, 2018, last Sunday in this calendar year. And tomorrow at midnight, we enter a new calendar year, and the whole world celebrates according to their own customs and culture, wherever they might be living. Ancient Babylonians, some 4,000 years ago, might have been the first group of people who made resolutions for the new year. Their new year started in mid-March, and they brought in the new year when they planted their crops. It was a time for crowning a new king, or if there was an existing king, they just reaffirmed their loyalty and their commitment to his reign. They did make promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any borrowed items. After Julius Caesar began the Gregorian calendar, the Romans celebrated New Year's Day on the 1st of January. And that first New Year's Day for him was in 46 BC. Janus, a two-faced god whose image inhabited doorways and arches, things of that nature, because it was two-faced, it looked forward and backward at the same time. So, the Romans would offer sacrifices and make promises for their good conduct in the coming year. For early Christians, and this is as far back as 1740, that's a long way back, the resolution was to be a better person in the coming year, and that's when it began a Christian culture to bring in the new year by singing hymns, praying, giving praises, and thinking about what they would do better in the year to come. So New Year's traditions have definitely been around for a while. The thing to remember for Christians is that every day is a new day. And on any given day, we're able to reflect and judge according to the word where we are and kind of assess our current situation and turn to God's word and determine a godly future. Like the circle that symbolizes God's love, it has no beginning, it has no end. And it is there. And if for some reason we just by lack of attention or lack of our heart burning within us for the things of God, we sort of topple off, we're able to sit over there and regroup and hop right back on. It's up to us. Because once you make that leap back onto that circle of love, then that's where we are. So we've kind of closed out 2018 with the series, Getting Understanding. So we want to get understanding primarily because we want to know the will of the Lord. And knowing the will of the Lord, we would be intent on doing it. And certainly with the heart and the idea of pleasing our Heavenly Father. We want to be well-pleasing in our manner of life. A son in whom God is well-pleased, right? For 2019, our desire is to present God's love and light on various aspects of life, you know, right where we live, the things that we face day to day, the decisions that we make. And we want to do it in ways to increase and reach our spiritual expectations. So we want to increase, expand, broaden, widen, amplify, add to, develop spiritual expectations for ourselves and others. So how will we do this? We do this by looking at the Word, by looking at the Word of God, by examining God's promises, and even more so, looking to the heart of God to understand His heart. And then we long to attain. Once we have those expectations, don't we want to arrive there? Sure we do. We want to realize or achieve, to arrive, to grasp, and triumph in our spiritual expectations. So when we read the scriptures, what do we envision for our lives? Shouldn't there be a match? Shouldn't there be a calibration there where we read this in the Word? Okay, so what does that mean to me? What is that going to look like when we live that? That determines our spiritual expectation. So, do our expectations align with God's promises? That would be a good checkup. That would be a good little thing to think about. Do we hold realistic expectations? In other words, our expectations, and we will get into this year, our expectations, if they are in alignment with God's nature, they are not going to try to override the freedom of will of others. That's an unrealistic expectation. We can't expect a person to do something because God's word says we should do it. We want them to. We desire that they do. We long for them to do that. But we cannot go and say, you will do this. Because then we go right back into fear motivation. We go right back into things where we are not going. So, do we walk away with any expectations at all? Some people read the word and, oh, well, I feel good about myself now. I've read the word today. And maybe they don't have an expectation at all. So in Philippians chapter 1, Paul, I love this, he calls it his earnest expectation. And we're really not going to, I'm going to talk about verses, a few verses, but we're not really going to turn and read any today. We just want to give you a taste, a preview, and a way for you to set your heart for the coming new year. And then next Sunday, we'll start diving in step by step. So Paul calls it his earnest expectation, that in nothing he would be ashamed, but that with all boldness Christ would be magnified in his body, whether through life or through death. That Christ would be magnified in his body. Earnest expectation. Paul's expectations were serious. He was sober-minded. He was intense and intent on his expectations. And that word ashamed, to be ashamed, we worked this at our weekend last May. Ashamed is a word, one of the meanings means, not ashamed, means that you don't turn pink. And it's in the sense that you don't blush. You aren't embarrassed by this set of expectations and the lack thereof of result. And when those match, then you have the promise and you attain, you receive your expectation. And you are not put to the blush, so to speak. You are not disappointed. Feelings of shame prevent us from moving along with our lives. They prevent us from, in other words, if I boasted that I can stop a thunderstorm and I go out in front of a bunch of people to demonstrate this and I speak, and even in the name of Jesus Christ, and the thunderstorm comes pummeling right on through. Maybe I would be skeptical about trying that again. You know, maybe I would be blushed in my mind, in my heart. So that fear would enter into me taking that leap of faith, if you will. And then we have to start to examine, well, why did that not work? Why did I miss my expectation? Why didn't my expectation come to pass like I said it would? Because there's much more than saying. And these are the kind of things that we're going to really bore into this year. It's more than just reading a verse and saying it. And So fears really stymie our growth, and God certainly does not want us to be put to the blush. Our expectations can and should be calibrated by His love, by His light, and more especially, the intent of His heart. The intent of His heart. The more our spiritual recognition embraces the thoroughness and singleness of His love, the better. We all hold beliefs that we think are correct, right? If we didn't think they were correct, we would change them. When we are working the Word, we're all going to come up on verses that, where the words in the verse may seem to challenge the things that we have come to believe at looking at the whole Word of God. So, as we might say, well, oh my gosh, you might have this, just this grip in your throat and your chest. Have I been teaching this? Have we been teaching this wrong? Is this wrong? Is this right? But, you know, the greatest assurance that we have is that God knows each and every heart. Every heart. Be it a beloved one, be it a rank unbeliever, He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So certainly He knows the hearts of His children. He doesn't look on the outward, which sometimes gets us into trouble. So by way of His gift within us, He will lead us to figure it out. And we see this happen. You know, we read verses that, you know, with clear ones that God is love, God is light, then you might go to another section of the Word and it appears that God is punishing people and that God is going to bring wrath upon the disobedient and He is going to hate this and hate that. And there, you know, we have to stop. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us and allow our working of the Word, but especially the Holy Spirit, to direct us for figuring that out. So we look to God to show us, to clarify for us through the Scriptures and through His gift, to direct our hearts in the correct way. And it's in this way that we grow and we get understanding. And I love thinking of this. Don't we all devote our hearts to want to speak accurately concerning our Heavenly Father? Sure. I mean, I don't even know a beloved one on their worst day that doesn't want to speak accurately to another fellow person about God. And isn't it our desire for our speech and conduct to demonstrate His nature? So that people would look at us similar to the way they looked at Christ, who was perfect, but they would look at us in a similar way and say, wow, I feel like I've seen an angel, or I feel like I've seen the love of God, or, and all of us wish to do His will in our lives. We are absolutely safe to believe that He would work within us to get the story concerning Him straight. Right? So, the Holy Spirit works within us so we are not fake news. Because the Bible says we are what kind of news?
Good news.
We are good news. We are good news to the world. So, is the Holy Spirit gonna just say, nah, you figure it out. I'm here, but no. God is gonna use what He has created in us to make sure that He communicates to us the accurate good news concerning His kingdom. And I really just love that. So, you know, the fake news in our culture, it's distracting. It's buzzing. So we want to be the good news. And God is going to communicate to us what that is in our hearts, to our hearts, not to the intellectual process. It may add to our intellectual process, but the intent is to get the good news to the world. And I know over the years, aspects of our teaching have really developed and gone a little differently than we started out thinking in 2001 when we first began Beloved of God Ministries. And while the mind may immediately grasp a new concept or a new look at God's love or something really refreshing and comforting, it still takes a while to realign our thinking to the end that we live that way. And I guarantee you, it's going to take more than 21 days. You know, 21 Days is a book by people who are trying to help you better yourself. Maybe you want to floss your teeth. Well, if you floss your teeth for 21 days, maybe you set a new habit pattern. But there's a lot more to life than getting understanding in 21 days on a subject. It's just not that shallow. It's not that simplistic. So, you know, our thoughts around a fresh look at truths. Now, the truth of God's word doesn't change. I'm not saying that we're coming up with different truths, but we are expanding, we are increasing, we are enlarging our understanding about God is love, about the health and the prosperity and the power and authority that the believers already have. We used to pray for that. Well, that's not a good prayer. We have it. We don't ask for it. So that's what I mean when I say fresh looks at truth. It's the truth was always the same. It just becomes fresh to us as we learn it. How about that? So, but it takes a while to realign our thinking and our motivations and living according to this fresh look for those truths to really become a part of us. We can say the new things, but without that deliberate decision that we're going to live according to that, we slip back in the old way of living. It's easy to do. I've done it many times. So... but our expectation should track with our growth in the Word. And then, of course, motivation is paramount. God's love is the beginning of every Christian endeavor. We receive God's love within us at the new birth. So love is not what we pray for. It is not a goal. But rather, love is literally for us a given. It's a given. It's our starting block. It's the package of life that we begin with as a new Christian. Or if we didn't know about it, we jump on the circle and we start living as though we now know about it. So God's love and grace allows people to develop according to their free will appetite. And you know, honestly, some teachers of the word may think that that's not an aggressive enough way to minister and disciple the flock of God. But God's love never what?
Fails.
It never fails. It will work at different speeds for different people. It will work according to our appetites. Can our appetites be souped up? Sure. We can develop a deeper and a more aggressive appetite. But the attributes of that agape love, they will never fail. So, our expectation, we trust God. We trust God that at any stage of a beloved one knowing God's perfect and divine love, like living forgiveness, forgiving themselves, forgiving others, forgiving past grievances, being willing to forgive future ones. Beloved ones will become hearts on fire. Now that is a realistic expectation, that beloved ones, through the teaching of the word, they will become hearts on fire. But there's a lot of things that happen between the teaching and a heart on fire. And that is where that person's free will comes into play. Their relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that depends on free will. We do know from the word, it is an honest expectation that some will and some won't. They will go through their life being born again and praise the Lord at the gathering together. We'll all be together. But we know that some will have hearts on fire and some really won't. They won't. So we don't want to say everybody's going to just be da-da-da-da-da. That wouldn't be a realistic expectation. Doesn't agree with the word. So when you desire something for someone, don't you do your best to think it through and prepare? You might prepare the environment. You might prepare your heart by just getting quiet and praying for the situation. You might discuss it among your household, your family, your physical family household. You might, you know, you just think through every possible way that the person you're going to speak to has the advantage, you know, has the advantage to hear what you're going to tell them, that they have a favorable advantage to benefit from what you're going to tell them. We pray for those we'll be speaking to about God. We thank Him for His wisdom to speak to the hearts of others. We consider how to help neighbors. You know, what do we want to have neighbors over? Well, that's great. Well, what do we want to accomplish? What do we want to do? So you think it through. It's not going to happen if you don't. It won't happen. So, you know, we teach and we share from every angle so God can touch hearts in His way. Not my way. In His way. And even when there is no open door to speak, I know in our fellowship here at the chapel, we've talked about this after the teachings before, that even when there's not an open door to speak, we should not limit our expectations of our physical presence there that hinders the work of the enemy. In those cases, we are the silent majority. So recently, during a very sweet visit with a wonderful believing family, it came up in conversation that one of the neighboring families in their neighborhood had been childless for a number of years. They were approaching adoption so that they could start a family. Well, this childless couple now has two children of their very own. And this is why. The beloved ones that live there had become friends. They had gotten to know this couple. They knew of their desire to have children. This couple had talked with them about adoption. And the believing couple spoke to them, and they prayed, and they ministered to them. Who do you think were the first to know of the pregnancies? This couple, this believing couple, who had been a good neighbor in the truest godly sense. Now, we sometimes wonder, God, where do you want me? God, what do you want me to do? What is my ministry? What, you know, how would this couple have children today if those people had not done what they do where they're at? If they had not been who they are. And I tell you, I really well up inside because be who you are, where you are at.
it is really just wonderful. So this couple, can you come to our house? We have something to tell you.
Well, they didn't know what it was. They thought, oh gosh, maybe there's an adoption coming through. But they were very excited about this announcement. You know, what a great testimony for being who you are, where you are. So their home in their neighborhood is the hub for their Christian service. Now, does it have a sign out front that says hub? No. Nobody even knows. Nobody even cares. Except those people who want to know. And those people who care. It's really something. So, you know, nobody acknowledged this couple for that, except the couple that now have two children. So they're really living powerfully. This couple has made a difference right where they live. You know, we could live anywhere. But the fact is, we live where we live. That's the fact. No matter where we live, we have neighbors. So what should we do? Be a neighbor. Now, I know in the broad sense, a neighbor can be anyone. But it doesn't exclude the guy next door. You know, we want to get out there and find that neighbor. Well, go knock on his door. You know, in our own neighborhoods, we have a great advantage by far, because those people see us come, they see us go, they see our lives, and honestly, they see us up close. They hear us. They see that we always have a smile on our face. They see us when something at our home breaks. They see us when we could be out cussing, but we're not. We're just looking for the solution. You know, they see all of that. And they begin to trust because of that manner of life they see. They learn that you're there for them. They learn that your word, when you tell them you're going to do something, they can count on you. They can count on you. They realize that you actually are thinking of them and that you actually remember things that they tell you, because at a future time it comes up in the conversation. They learn that your care is genuine. They realize after a while that you pray for them and that you are always willing to help them where you can. So the same couple we visited, and I'm going to carry on with their lives because we did talk about work situations too. They have their professions. They have jobs that they go to each day and their places of employment, which is another place to make God known by way of our conduct and our speaking. So we're deceived to think we cannot witness at our place of employment. That is a lie. They may have a sign that says no solicitations. They may have a unwritten law that you can't speak to another employee about religion. You know, it may just be the culture. Maybe it's not a law. But you know, if you do, you're going to step on toes and it's going to affect your place in that company. But you know, it is ever so apparent that people read the way we live. They read the way that we live. They hear our manner of speech. No rule in the workplace about witnessing or speaking about God will ever restrict you being a witness of our living God. And there is no stopping our lives from being noticed. It's called knowledge of God, wisdom of God, understanding. And when we have those facets of life in our grip, in our hearts. We don't need rules or no rules about what we do, because we are a walking manifestation of God's love, of God's light, and people notice. You know, really, how could a beloved one not be a testimony for God's amazing love? When we see and recognize how encompassing John 3:16, I mean, it's such a simple verse, it almost seems trite in our society. But when we think that through, that is the truth of God. And how could we not testify to that amazing love by just the way we conduct our lives? So again, just like living in a home, we could work anywhere. But the fact of the matter is, we work where we work. No matter where we work, we have bosses, managers, co-workers. And if you own your own business or work for another person, it really doesn't matter, because who is the head? The Lord Jesus Christ is the head in all things. He is our master. So when I go in and work for a boss or a company or a manager, I behave myself because I am serving God. I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm serving my master. And we work with singleness of heart, reverencing God. And it says in Colossians 3, we are to work heartily as unto the Lord. That's right. So by looking to the will of God with the intent of fulfilling it, with the intent of living it, we grow, and the Holy Spirit prepares our heart. The Holy Spirit is always busy. It lives there. It lives in our heart. So it should always be busy preparing our next steps, preparing our hearts for the next situation. And understanding will naturally transform us. It, like that metamorphosis from that little worm into that beautiful butterfly. Not saying that worms are ugly. To some people, they're beautiful. And I must admit, I look at pages and those glossy pages and magazines of worms and caterpillars, and there are some beautiful ones for caterpillars. But it's going to transform us from that lowly process into that beautiful transformation. It will transform us into alignment with God's heart and His intent. And honestly, no amount of accurate teaching, no amount of conviction in the teacher's heart, no amount of personal charisma is going to transform the other person. It's the Holy Spirit and our free will determination for that process to occur. We want to keep ourselves in spiritual position for the working of the Holy Spirit to be effectual. You know, I think about situations where people have been in fellowships and services or churches where there's a lot of evil going on. And yet there are people within that group that flourish. Devil spirits get cast out from time to time. People have miracles. They get healed instantaneously. So that those people that have that happen heard what was taught, and they believed it. So it's the same way if you are in a group where the teaching is good, the charisma is good, everything's good. It's still the individual. Do you see that? Do you get it? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I mean, we all want to be subject to good environments. We all want to be subject to the accurate teaching of the word. But the person that makes the biggest difference is the person hearing it. What is that person going to do with it? So teachings, counselings, conversations, other the manner of life of other people, all those should inspire and elevate and increase our appetite to sort of raise the bar, so to speak. Raise the bar on our expectations. Our first expectation should be of ourselves. Expecting ourselves to do what we hear in the Word, what we see in the Word, to imitate God as dear children, to be followers of Jesus Christ. So not every Sunday in 2019 are we going to say, okay, here's another teaching on expectations. You know, we may or may not even mention the Word. We'll see. I don't know how it will play out. But our thought behind the teaching plan for next year would be to give nourishment for thought and personal evaluation, to help us to know the will of God in different categories so that we can do it. Increasing and reaching our expectations will simply serve as a backdrop or a large platform where of heart from where to feed the flock of God. And really for us, for Larry and I, to hear about you flourishing in your earnest expectations, serving the bread of life where you live and where you work, how you profoundly impact the lives of those who literally are your neighbors, delights our heart more than you can ever possibly know. It really does. So we joyfully anticipate the unfolding of the plan for the coming year. It's a broad plan. It allows a lot of movement, and so we'll take it week by week or series at a time. And your communications are always important to us. They're always welcome because, like all of you, we need fellowship. We need to talk to you. You may think we call you so we can talk to you. We call you so you can talk to us. We email so that we get an email back from you. So, you know, we're a part of the body of Christ. And we desire your fellowship. We desire your communication, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's by phone, email, or even a text. We get thrilled at those too. So have a great week. Happy New Year. And as always, God's love and blessings.